Lord, tonight we give you praise. We thank you because of your kindness. And you look upon us, your people, with mercy. And you come to our aid when we call upon you. So we give you praise. We thank you because of your goodness over our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. As you turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning from verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He's asking if you have not known this, that you can never fathom the full depth of God's capacity. Hast thou not known this? That you can never know the fullness of God's strategy. Hast thou not known this? And many times in your life that things go on and you feel that God is dead, God is not sensitive. The Bible is saying, hast thou not known that there is no searching of his understanding? Hast thou not known that he doesn't faint, neither is he weary? He doesn't have a problem with strength, with capacity. There is no searching of his understanding. In view of this, just in case you have known that, then the next verse is for you. That he giveth power to the faint. He himself can never go weary. But part of his specialty is that he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no mind, increases strength. Hallelujah. He giveth power to the faint. And what happens? And to them that have no might, increases strength. For even the youth shall faint. Meanwhile, the Bible says that the young man is noted for his strength. And scripture is saying that a time comes when situations are orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, even a young man will faint, a youth will faint, he will utterly fall without recovery. But then that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, they shall renew their strength. This scripture is speaking about a technology that is adequately established within the New Testament perspective. And we will need to consult with the book of Romans chapter 8 in order for us to understand the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That law is nowhere else but in Christ Jesus. It's not applicable, it's not available in the kingdom of darkness, it's not available in the kingdom of men. That law resides in Christ Jesus. And it will be needful for us to understand it. Because the law of the spirit of life is a law that God has set in motion for all believers that understand the capacity of the grace of God. How that God intends man to operate. God intends man to operate by spirit support. God intends man to operate by spirit ability. Even though you have natural ability, you have natural capacity, you have natural wisdom, but God is not expecting you to engage life from the standpoint of your natural capacity. There is an additional provision that God has made available, through which and by which is expecting you to prosecute life. And these possibilities are captured within the framework of the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. The kind of spirit that is in Christ Jesus was revealed. It's called the spirit of life. It can support life on another level. If only you can tap into the faithfulness that is available within that law, you can sustain life on another level. Meanwhile, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmities. See, that is to say that if you operate with your natural wisdom, as you are seeing the situation now, you deploy your natural wisdom. The moment you were seeing that situation, you were right in your own eyes. But 25 minutes later, 30 minutes later, 2 days later, 4 days later, 15 days later, 1 month later, you might find out that you were wrong because you did not see all the sides of the matter. There is always infirmity when you operate with the resources of the flesh, the resources of humanity. And through the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, God is offering us a heightened possibility of operation. Such a heightened possibility of operation that takes us beyond the scope, beyond the reach of the infirmities that are residual in our flesh. He is trying to offer us an opportunity to operate in a capacity that does not allow the insufficiencies of our humanity to affect our possibilities. Are you with me? Stay with me. We will end up with that illustration. That scripture I just read in Isaiah chapter 40 is an illustration. You will not understand the illustration adequately except you understand the doctrine that supports it. Okay. So let's begin. Let's begin to attempt to unravel the doctrine that supports it. Romans chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It means you need to be in the right location. And the location that we're talking about is the ecosystem or the habitat called Christ Jesus. I need to explain that. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What's the meaning of Christ Jesus? Because there are times you will see Jesus Christ. What's the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ? There are other times you just see Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. You will see Christ. What's the difference? Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Is it the same thing? So I'm asking now, what is the difference? Because the Bible says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. First of all, you need to be in the ecosystem. You need to be in the habitat. Then before I reveal the laws of the habitat. Hallelujah. The other time I was trying to make us understand that the word Christ actually has to do with an office. It is an office in God's administrative system. It's an office that captures a very sensitive matter. Everything that God wants to do. Are you with me? God will do it through that office. Just like God wanted to save humanity. He saved humanity through a person called Jesus. Outside of Jesus, God will not save humanity. Meanwhile, there are other people hoping that God will change his mind on that matter and then create another way to save them from their situation. No, God has already set up an administration through which humanity can be saved. And it is tied to the ministry of a person called Jesus. Are you there? Good. That person called Jesus is a member of the Godhead, and he is the one unto whom administration is committed. That was why when there was a need for payment to be made to redeem you from the power, the authority of the kingdom of darkness, it was him that went to make the payment, because he somewhat functions in the administrative capacity of that estate.
When he died,
resurrected, and he went back to heaven in ascension, he was glorified. And in his glorification, he was assigned an office. The office into which he was assigned is an administrative capacity that is saddled with the responsibility of managing all of the affairs of God, all of the agendas of God, all of the purposes of God. Are you with me? That administrative office happens to be the office of the Christ. It's an office. It is through that office that grace is bequeathed to your heart through the Holy Ghost. For the Bible reveals that the throne of grace is sourced at a throne. There is an office that is established that administers and releases allocations of grace. The Bible speaks about a personality who happens to be the Lord of the harvest. He is the one that assigns laborers to his harvest. Just in case you are motivated by zeal, because I've seen so many people motivated by zeal, they saw the lost souls and they are... That's not how God works. He doesn't work by zeal. He works through the instrument of the Lord of the harvest. He is the umpire that is responsible for every call, because God will never do anything upon the face of the earth except he calls a man. The administrative protocols by which God fulfills his agenda. And your naked zeal is not sufficient authority to begin to do something. There is an assignment that makes it an ordination, makes it something that you are spent to achieve all the days of your life. It has the seal and the signet of an authority in the kingdom of heaven, even the Lord of the harvest. There are a lot of capacities, there are a lot of things the Father cannot do apart from this administrative office. When you begin to pray, what makes your prayer effective? What makes it different from the prayer that Muslims pray? Because Muslims pray too. Muslims fast. Are you aware of that? They fast Ramadan. Wake up in the morning and eat and then start fasting. What makes your prayer, your fasting effective? What makes it have value in the realm of the spirit is not the prayer itself. It's not the fasting itself, but it is a deposit you have. When you begin to pray, prayer is good. You are not with me. Prayer is good. But how many of you have tried praying when God was not helping you to pray? How did you feel? Try, and it was hard. Because it's not natural. Prayer is not natural. You are supposed to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. So, there is an anointing that makes prayer natural. There is an enablement that you can receive that makes it prayer a delight. Is that true? Good. Now, that anointing you receive to make prayer a delight is what makes prayer powerful. Because if you pray without grace, you pray without help, that prayer is going to be dry. And when you finish praying, you need to take Panadol. Because you prayed with your strength. Are you with me? But if the Holy Spirit helps you pray, even though prayer is a supernatural thing, you will do that prayer as though it were natural. You are helped from an office. There's an office that allocated grace to you so that supernatural thing, you can prosecute it as though it was natural. Hearing God is not natural. But there is an office that allocates grace to you such that you will hear God as though it was a friend, a human being that was discussing with you. Do you understand that? Spiritual resources were deployed to make supernatural things look natural. Now, in my house,
We have a prayer time. Our prayer time is 10 p.m. in the evening. So, we just began the normal rigor, prayer rigor, the normal stuff. And as we just started the prayer, just a little, I don't like sounding like this, but that's the truth. It's not my fault. I was just giving thanks to God because my prayer points in life has finished. All my prayer points, personal prayer points have finished. So what I do now is that I just labor in thanksgiving. So I was doing my laboring. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord just came and took me. We were still in the parlor, but I was not with them. And began to show me. It took me somewhere, took me somewhere. And from, if I got it right, it was still this city. It was taking me to. Then took me through one part, took me to a place, and then showed me one thing that looked like dirty water. I said, do you know what this thing is? I don't know, but it's dirty. It's crude oil. And the well was bubbling like this. It's crude oil. Say crude oil. Yes, crude oil. What is crude oil doing here? He said, this oil well was supposed to fund a certain pastor's ministry in this town. But the pastor did not follow God diligently enough for him to bring him to this. I said, what? This is strange. Okay, then the story has ended. I've caught it. That's the only part I want you to hear. Meanwhile, in the place, in that our prayer place, there were people doing like this. And they didn't hear what I said. What I heard. There is a grace is an allocation that comes from a throne, an administration. The office that houses that administration is what we call the office of the Christ. And anytime you see Christ before Jesus, the emphasis is the office, not the person that occupies the office. Right? If you see Jesus before the Christ, the emphasis is the person that occupies the office. There are many things we share in common with Jesus. But this office is not one of them. This office belongs only, exclusively to Jesus. It is from this office that the economy of forgiving sins are deployed from. This office is the office, the administration through which God gives us what he had promised us in his son. Are you there? And it must be understood that from the day you gave your life to Christ, God decided that your destiny will be managed by this office. It is in your interest for you to understand how this office works. Because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It means that God has taken your destiny and put it under the authority of this office. You understand that? It is from that office that the Father manages your destiny and gives you allocation of grace that is needed for you to do natural things supernaturally and to do supernatural things naturally. Until you are able to achieve your ordination in him. So now that we understand that, let's read the scripture again. Because I want to take us step by step. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
If you are accurate with the administration that is put in place to manage your life, you'll be living life beyond condemnation. But if you violate the rules that govern this administration, one of the ways the Holy Spirit will register his displeasure is that he will make you find out that he is not with you on that particular matter, because you have trespassed the principles that manages his administration in your life. Is that clear? Good. Bear that in mind. So anytime you have the Holy Ghost in your heart registering displeasure, it means you have violated one of the principles that is operational in the administration that is captured in that office. You get that? If not, otherwise, if you are in alignment, you will enjoy a no condemnation experience in your heart. That is a proof of the fact that you are up to date with God's emphasis. You are okay. You are God's man for the moment, because you are sucked into his administration and you are adequately in alignment. There is a sense of ventilation that invades your heart, which is a proof of the fact that God is pleased with you. Hallelujah. You see, your conscience is a critical part of your spirit man. Your conscience is that meter that sustains an up-to-date sense of how God feels about you. If God is feeling cool with you, he gives you ventilation and you feel so light. And it's that light spirit is the accurate orientation that makes it easy for you to hear God. If your spirit is light, it means you are hooked up to the signal. But if your spirit is heavy, just don't labor. Don't try to hear God. It's not one of the possibilities that is available within that arrangement. That heavy spirit is a sign of displeasure. It's a sign of conflict. And every true believer must understand the sense of life that he carries in the inner man. Because if you lose knowledge of the implication of each spiritual sense that you carry in the inner man, your walk with God is going to be defective. Theologically, I can show you 13 different postures of the heart, and only one is accurate. The heart is such a flexible organ. Such a flexible organ. It gives you different orientations consistent with alignment. The moment someone is troubling you and then you go into a rage and say, Kaya! The heart will take an orientation, a posture. Yes, that your action will register in your heart. And if your heart is anything but light, it will be difficult for you to receive from God. So the Bible says, your portion in Christ is that there is now, in this new regime, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that great reality is dependent on, is not without, I've forgotten the word. I'll remember it later. You know, my words come from a dictionary somewhere. I must remember that word. Okay, you see, this no condemnation situation is conditional. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Such ones in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh. You know what God did to us when we gave our life to Christ? You know, you were operating by the flesh before you gave your life to Christ. It means the flesh seemed to be more established. But when you came and gave your life to Christ, a new life was launched in your life. And the operating system of that life is your heart. And the power that drives that life is the Spirit of God. So in every circumstance, in every situation, you have two possible ways of responding.
You can either respond in the flesh, or you respond by the Spirit. And because you were used to operating in the flesh before you gave your life to Christ, it is most likely that your responses to situations will be born out of the flesh. But if you are born again, and your responses are born out of the flesh, the Spirit of God is going to be grieved, because the actions that you are living out are not actions that He pioneered. So He's going to register His displeasure, and you are going to have somewhat like a condemnation in your heart. The reason is because you have violated the conditions that will guarantee that there is no condemnation. And the no condemnation status is a sign that you are in alignment. So part of our calling in the Lord is to ensure that we master how to shut out the flesh. The flesh, when it wants to secure your patronage, is very violent, very forceful. And God, when He wants to release grace, is gentle. So if you don't know the way of grace, you are going to be a victim of the flesh. The flesh is aggressive. The flesh is compelling. The flesh is forceful. The flesh seems to be speaking your language. Are you with me? For instance, somebody slaps you in public. The flesh will tell you that 250 people saw you being humiliated. And the best thing for you to do to redeem your masculinity right now is to slap back and knock. The flesh is analytical. The emphasis of the flesh is you. The emphasis of the Spirit is Christ. The Spirit, on the other hand, will say, well, I've strengthened you inside, and with this strength I've strengthened you inside, you can ignore the slap. See, the emphasis of the Spirit is Christ. The Christ option is what the Spirit advertises. The self option is what the flesh advertises. So the flesh wants to give the perspective of self. Flesh is self-centered. And the reason for which Lucifer fell was self. I will. I will. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. Self. So anytime you find self, sin will not be found. The foundation of all sin is self. Don't forget that. Say, the lady is beautiful. You are not the first person that knows she's beautiful. And then self preaches to you. How will she look like in my chambers? That's self. The foundation of sin is self. So self-centeredness will always lead you into the corridor of sin. But Christ-centeredness will lead you into the corridor of walking to please Him. And that's the foundation of holy living. So the Bible is talking about the requirements for you to operate in the no condemnation zone. It says you will have to despise the flesh. When the flesh begins to make advances towards you, seeking your compliance, you will need to have a way to shut the flesh out. And this matter of flesh, hallelujah, is a contention that is open to every believer every day. And you must understand that the flesh is an ancient thing. You cannot use your will to conquer the flesh. Your ancestors that tried before you, they failed. When you go to, hallelujah, When you go to places like China, you will see a lot of people that are monks. They say they are not marrying, they are just available in the temple to seek illumination. Right? That's a modest submission. But the fact that the guy says he doesn't want to marry, doesn't want to interface with this world, his life will be in the monastery. He'll be seeking, studying to find meaning for life. That's what he's doing there. In that his pious, sanctimonious state, he's already a victim of the flesh. Right there. The flesh is an ancient matter that, hallelujah, only the Spirit of God can conquer it. Are you with me? Meanwhile, we are talking about the requirement for the no condemnation possibility. Where I live every day in accurate alignment with God, and there is no loose end in my experience. That's how Jesus lived. Because I've mastered the way the flesh operates, and I've shut it out of my civilization, and it's only the stream of the Spirit that is responsible for my actions, my words, my responses, my feedback. If you press me, it's Christ that comes out. That monk in the monastery, because he thinks that if he separates from this busy world and shuts himself into the monastery, maybe with a purple garment. Oh, is it orange? Orange. He's not seeing a woman. There's no woman in the environment. So he can't lust. In that state, he's still a victim of flesh. Because are you with me? Oh, you don't believe me? How many of you still remember the Bible says John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking? That's the monastery style. He separated himself from the mundane so that he could stay in a state where there was no distraction. He came neither eating nor drinking. What did they call him? They said he had a demon. They said John had a demon. And why? His principle of escaping the world system was to separate himself so that he will not interface with women. He won't see beautiful women. He won't see anything. He will just be there in the wilderness. And when you come, he'll cry, repent! The people say, John. That he had a demon. It was a demon that was making him to live that kind of life. It's not a normal life. Meanwhile, his principle for escaping the world was segregation. But the principle, and the Bible said Jesus came because segregation is different from separation. And it is separation that the Bible teaches. Oh my, you're not with me. Okay, because you are not there, we'll cut that aspect out. First of all, you need to find which areas of the flesh easily bind you. When you notice that if someone insults you, you can't hold it. Then there's a stronghold of the flesh in that area. Oh my. In order for you to defeat the flesh, you must develop intelligence that will make you understand the way the flesh uniquely operates in your own vessel. Are you with me? For some, when they behold every fair lady is a challenge to them. And you notice that if a fair lady passes, your blood pressure will go up. And that's the unique expression of the flesh in your own vessel. When you notice the strongholds of the flesh, you need to be very intelligent. You need to be a very good student of the processes of God in your own life in order for you to be an accurate believer. Depending on the family you came from, depending on whether you were first, second, third born or last born, I can describe your flesh challenge. Those of us that were not senior, we were towards the end. If people get angry, they beat us. If and When we get angry too, they still beat us. Because of that, I found out how to lie. The type of lies that is in the textbook. So the only way of surviving, because we are always wrong. We are so a dimension of flesh developed for safety. The reason for which this flesh was coming was noble. It was to provide safety. And as I was moving in that lie, I became so skillful that one day I sent my father on April Fool. And no, I'm not. This is. I sent him to Modern Market. It's in this town. After years, I sent him to Modern Market. He came out. When he came back, he almost burned the entire house. Because, do you know I was 12 years old then? I was skillful. So that aspect of flesh, because I was towards the last, that aspect of flesh had developed. What flesh? I saw a lady the other day, I think she like 14 years ago, they were scolding her. And all of her flesh was educated. She knows how to insult you with her eyes. She can insult your grandfather with her nose. She can do the nose. That's educated flesh. You need to find out which aspect of your flesh have been educated. That's the aspect you need most for survival. And then take a jacksaw. You have to do it yourself as a sign that you don't want to walk according to the flesh. So I had to lose my lying edge, which was my salvation. May the Lord give you understanding. I was from a very strong Christian background. So our own kind of sin is not fornication, because my mom was too strong. You can't know. So that's not, but they couldn't decode lying. They could decode fornication. That these are signs to fornication. These are signs. So that aspect was brittle. But they did not have the detector for lies. So lying prospered. You don't understand. It took Jehovah God, that came and scooped out. Oh, you don't understand this. You don't know how long I labored. I labored to lose that hand. That it was a cutting edge hand. But I had to lose the hand so that I would not walk by the flesh. Because that's not the way of such men in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I know you are laughing at me. The reason is because you are not the one on the spotlight. If we check your own life, you will see that you have many hands. Me is one projection. Maybe you have a lump that has become an engineering tool here. Yes. But our way in Christ is not to walk in the flesh, so you will need to take the jacksaw and you cut out lying. What it means is every time I lied, the Holy Ghost will remind me. Then I will go back and say, you know, when I promised the Holy Spirit I won't lie again, then I lied 2 times. Then I came and said, I won't lie again. Then it became plenty. Then I now realized that I didn't have the ability, the authority to actually say, I will not lie again. So I went back to the Holy Ghost and said, can you help me? That's the prayer of the man that wants to activate the law of the spirit of life. That man has come to an understanding of the fact that he cannot conquer the flesh. So he goes to the Holy Ghost to seek help. And he keeps seeking help perpetually until he sees that the Holy Spirit has registered victory. Now, many believers these days don't believe that flesh is as terrible as God sees it. Are you with me? You are not with me. Now, I and Pastor Dan, we've been discussing, evaluating our lives, discussing, checking this ministry, our service to the Lord, our service to the people, trying to find out if there are areas you know, that we have not been doing very well. And such areas will require new lines of grace. You know, people don't check again. Let me tell you what will happen. You can be a master of flesh and you don't consider that flesh is an enemy to spirit life. Are you here? Right. So that lying thing I was saying, you will need to fight it consciously. Because if I did not fight it consciously, and don't get me wrong, my axe is still waiting. Just in case. Huh? Okay. Just in case the thing. That's how you will wait with an axe. You need to love righteousness and hate wickedness. That's the formula. Now, if I didn't consider flesh to be as terrible as God sees it, and I left that thing, do you know that it will grow with me in ministry? You are not aware now. You are not aware. It will, and then when I become an intercontinental minister, you will notice that I am a liar. So there is a fineness of the grace of God that will be obscured in my life because there is something I did not deal with. Oh, you are not with me. Oh, you have pride. Pride is flesh. Is the occupation of a fallen man. That state of thinking that you are sufficient in yourself is the disposition of the fallen man. Because in Christ Jesus, we are insufficient. He is our sufficiency. But the fallen man believes he is in charge. And it is possible for you to give your life to Christ and you are the minister of the gospel, but pride everywhere. You did not cut off, you did not use the chainsaw to administer a deliberate attack on that pride, that fallen nature that was seeking to find a permanent place in your expression. Then you will grow like that. And in ministry, that pride is there. Meanwhile, you are a heavy man of God, but that limitation is still there. Have you heard of preachers that sleep with people's wives? That work of the flesh was active. Do you understand? And they were growing with it. When they commit a blunder, they come and say, hey, oh. Let not your spirit go from me. Hallelujah. Then many years later, a woman walked into the office of a man of God. He said, you will know if the baptism of lust to us. And he's a big man. You know what? You are shaking your head because he's not good. Huh? He allowed it grow until old age. If you don't deal with the booster stations of flesh now, when you become a grown-up woman, and you are supposed to bring order, love to the family, you are going to be the terminal for crisis, the terminal through which unrest will invade the entire civilization. It is because, what? You didn't use the saw. The first thing that we need to achieve in this our lecture is to find out your own booster stations of flesh. Write it first. In all sincerity, this Bible study tonight is called Naked Bible Study. The reason why I named it like that is that you need to be sincere today. If you are sincere, deliverance will come. Hallelujah. You see, the amen is going. I know this situation. A mighty prophet, some of us read his books, mighty prophet, his secretary, years after the prophet died, now wrote a book. That he knows the prophet. He knows when the prophet is under the prophetic anointing. He also knows the prophet when he's under the influence of a foul spirit. that there were two spirits that operated in that man.
Oh. Okay. Since it's surprising to you, I will shut down.
You will use 10 years to learn this thing I want to tell you today. I'm saying that a renowned prophet, there were times when it was the Holy Ghost that was operating. This is the secretary. And times when it was a foul spirit. And the man knew. So when it is a foul spirit, he switches off. When it is the Holy Ghost, this prophet can come to work. And he knows everything that happened in his hour of absence. He will know. Oh my God. He was a luminary. But you see, there were several teachings he began to teach before he died that generated a sect in the body of Christ till today. And that his secretary actually revealed that it was that second spirit that was responsible for those teachings. One day, after a mighty miracle service, he had ministered to, laid hands on like 1,500 people, and he was tired. Then he said, Kai, this prophetic ministry is not good. It's the teaching ministry that is better. So he stopped prophetic ministry, started a teaching ministry. And the thing about the offices we're assigned to, all right, God gives us authority and he gives us capacity to be accurate within the offices that we are located. As long as I remain in my calling, oh my, no need for me to advertise myself. I know my calling. If I am there, I can't be wrong. But if I go and maybe Pastor Dan is doing something so wonderful and I'm trying to also be wonderful, and I try to do the things that Pastor Dan is doing, the spirit of error, because of that desire of the flesh, is going to take advantage of my life. And if I stay in that deception for long, another stream will break out of my life. That's the reason why we hammer hard on issues of flesh. Because it can give rise to another stream entirely. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So, the secretary said it, that there were. In fact, that second book did not circulate for long. Because the followers had to buy them up and stopped its circulation. But some of my teachers had read the book. So they came and unveiled how that aspect of the man's ministry was a stream that came out of a spirit of error. The spirit of error was hanging on a desire of the flesh that was not bridled. Before you go far, you need to sit down. Are you with me? Oh my, you have not seen pastors that are driven by ambition. It's ambition that is driving him, not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has his timing. Are you with me? Oh, have you read that scripture that said Paul planted, Apollos water? It was what? Don't you think Paul knows how to get results? You don't think so? The man that has that kind of intelligence you are reading from in his epistles, don't you think he knows one or two things about how to get a crowd, how to gather a people? Those people did not operate based on flesh. They waited for God to give increase. Meanwhile, and should I tell you, you don't know how long it will take. Yes. And because you don't know how long it will take, your heart, whether it is faithful or guile, it will be tested. And Satan will send so many people to you and give you formulas on how to generate results that are not God results. Because flesh, we want to create a civilization that can run apart from God. I know many churches that can run for another 5 years without the Holy Ghost. They are perfected how it works. And the head of that civilization is six, is man. It doesn't enter into seven when God is king. And that's why there are many platforms where you never see the presence of God. Because in the zenith of that civilization is a man speaking great things. If it's the Holy Ghost, if it's the Holy Ghost that is in charge, you will know our seasons. When a season changes, you will know. New dimensions, new measures of grace will begin to manifest. The reason why we can't chronicle the seasons of our lives, we are not steadfast under the government of God. It's not success formulas we are talking about. May you not serve the God of breakthrough. May you not serve that God. Because I remember, are you with me? When I first started preaching on cable satellite, so because I know that the messages were going to go on cable, I did research in scripture as a scholar. And I released very dense revelation. And when people on the other side watched, they say, who is this teacher in Africa? I got invitations. And I was planning to make some trips. But before the trips, I went to Jesus to ask. I said, all these doors you open to me, how am I going to manage them? He said, he's not aware there's any that any door open. You are not aware. If your God is breakthrough, you will enter into doors that God never opened. And I've seen people that entered into such doors and Satan helped them waste their time. Flesh, it must be conquered. It cannot produce any result that God will accept. So the way of Christ is that we must not walk after. What? If you notice that if you pass close to a fair lady, the blood pressure goes up. You know what you do? Take a fast. And talk to God about it sincerely. Let him take the jackstraw and cut off that appetite. There's an appetite that is built around lust. And it's very easy for lust to be triggered. You need to ask God to help deal with that appetite. Are you with me? If you notice that you are not patient, it means you are ambitious. You don't understand the authority of God as he walks through the timings of destiny. When you notice those symptoms, you go back to him and say, Lord, can you handle this matter? And you keep praying until you begin to see changes. It means he has deflated that appetite. Now his spirit can be in charge. His spirit can be the personality that calls the shots. Before I go on, you know, I opened Isaiah. We need to do a one serious walk here before we go to Isaiah. Meanwhile, God bless you for that praise and worship. It was as if we were gliding. Oh my. Hallelujah. Sometimes, okay, let me not talk, but God bless you indeed. God bless you. God bless you. Now listen. The flesh. Yes, I said you should look at your life quickly. Check for the booster stations. Things that flesh grounds. Okay. You, okay. Oh, I forgot. You don't have any weakness. I forgot. Since you have no weakness, let's proceed in this journey. You are just fully pious and sanctimonious and sacramental. They are booster stations. If you don't deal with it, when you become the great man, and Satan knows you are growing with his meter, growing with his barometer, what he will do is that he will touch it. And that thing that God is hoping to get from your life, he will get his own harvest too. Your rising will not only glorify God, it will glorify Satan. Oh, I know a man. Nobody could talk to him. When he gets angry, he grew like that. Powerful in the anointing. Powerful in grace. And when he started erring, nobody could challenge him. A time came, the only thing he had to do to save his marriage was say, I am sorry to his wife. He said his wife is not trained. That how Is she expecting him to tell her?
She's not ready.
All of the elders were disappointed. That a man of God. And meanwhile, there were evidences that revealed that he needed to say sorry. All the wife was waiting for was. He felt offended that the wife was insisting. Do you know me? Are you aware of? If I were him, I would have used comedy to say sorry. When my wife delivered, I went to preach. I preached for how many days? 17 days. Because I told the Eastern people I would come. So when I came home, she was angry. I knelt down. If you see the way I knelt down, you yourself, you. But just, I knelt down. I said, hey, this thing now. And free yourself. So she said, I'm not too big. If I offend you, I will kneel down. You will be amazed. Because what is it? What is it? What is it? What are you talking about? There's nothing spectacular about me. Just one thing. It's called grace. And I know myself when there was no grace. That picture is very clear. That's why in David, God had to be reminding him of when he took him from the sheep coat. Eh? God doesn't need to remind me. I carried the two pictures. Yes. That we are nothing. But it's the grace of God that makes us what we are. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You know why? I've invested in that home. If there's anything that will affect the investment that is dependent on me, it's solved. It is done. But you see, that man of God never knew that that pride he had in his vessel was going to cost him his home. It doesn't matter how anointed you are, if you cannot keep your home, I will never listen to you again. Never. Because your first disciple is supposed to be your wife. If your wife does not believe in you, I will not believe in you. I'm not talking about a wife that left you and became an unbeliever. A wife that is still a believer and he left you. If she does not believe, she knows you to the bedroom, to the bathroom, to the wardrobe, too. And she came out and said, hey, I will not believe. It means you have not represented God effectively in the life of that woman. So what are you preaching to the world? Are you with me? So take an axe, an arrow. Eh? Look for that flesh and take it for surgery. Keep praying about it until it loses its authority over your soul. That is the way of Christianity. And those days, this was how we were taught. That was why. Oh, you didn't see me as a proud man. Oh, you are just coming. I come from a long line of proud people. Then I knew that pride and revelation don't work together. Because revelation has the capacity to puff up. Eh? I saw that from the Bible. So I had to take for what? Somebody traveled from Lagos and came expecting that maybe when they see me, I'm a big man of God. We are with... Now came on. And the person was disappointed. This is not the type I want. I will not change because of that person. Eh? Because I know that the Spirit of God is against pride. Exactly. I know the what of the grace of God. When I'm begging God in the place of prayer, sometimes 8 hours before I come out, when I'm begging him for grace and the grace has not come, I know that if I get angry and go out, I will only be a laughing stock. So I know the difference between when a man has grace from God and when that grace is not yet there. I know the difference. So I can stay there for 11 hours. But if it comes, that's when I start wearing my suit and singing. If it comes, if it comes. Ooh. Went to worry to preach. I didn't know the witches came to visit me. But the grace came. And the first one that stood up was embarrassed. Then the others, they were arrested. And I was using them for lecture. This type, because Jesus said, this kind goeth not. He's talking about the types of demons and their operation. Oh, tell me, how can you teach about types of demons if it's not in a practical place when you have authority to bind them? So Jesus had practical lessons. It was because the grace was there. The pastor was afraid. The pastor that invited me was afraid. Seriously afraid. He never knew that he was pastor. The people he was pastoring, he didn't know them. I know when there is no grace. And I will not come out. But if I come out, it means grace came. Whether I was a stammerer before, if I come out, what will speak through my vocal cord? You have never heard it before. That's what is called spirit life. When God gives you a spirit platform to stand, and the spirit of God swallows up all your infirmity, and he gives you a strength that you do not have in the flesh. If you have ever known the Holy Ghost and walked in his strength, you will curse the flesh anytime you see it. I don't know about you, God has given me strange instructions before. Strange. There was a day he woke me up in my house. I used to stay in Wadata then. He said, begin to walk on the road. I'm sending you to somebody. Move left. Move right. Right again. Then I met the person. I used to do those things before. Those were the days he was teaching me navigation. If you know the life of the spirit, you will not accept the flesh. The flesh is cursed, is falling. Take a chisel, take it to God, ask him to cut it off. Let that pride die. Let it lose authority over your soul. When it wants to rise, after God has dealt with it, you can say, "Kai, no more." Because it doesn't have authority over you. You can tell that lust, "No, I'm in charge." When God deals with it, when it rises, it won't have control. You can tell it, "Go back." Those were the labors of spiritual men in those days. They hated the flesh with passion. And if you hear their stories, it's as if they were not human. There was no falling expression. Men like Reinhard Bonnke. Men like Paelte. There was no downtime. The flesh had been dealt with. And all that was left was a vessel that God could possess to minister and to bless a generation. And when I looked at their lives, studied Christianity for many years, the ancient men like Murray, Andrew Murray, men like E.M. Bounds, and their testimonies of how they walk with Jesus, I knew there was no option for me. The flesh must be paralyzed. The flesh must be stripped of his authority. Because the way of Christ is a way of no flesh, but all spirit. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. They do not walk after the flesh. They've given out all the appendages of the flesh, and the Lord has mutilated them. He has sent them
on paralysis. Now, the Holy Spirit has free course. He can flow through their laughter. He can flow through their song. He can flow through their preaching. He can flow through their admonition. Every outlet becomes a window through which the Holy Spirit can do his good work. Such men, when the devil looks at them, he will bring money and entice them. And that which would have responded to money, the Holy Spirit had dealt with it. He will bring women and entice them. That which would have responded to women, it has been paralyzed. Have you seen a man paralyzed before? He desires to walk, but his legs can't what? Can't carry him. That's how you become. When you allow him to deal with the flesh, the devil will bring products to see if there's any compatibility with your soul so that he can begin to regulate you. But he will show the product. There's no compatibility. How many of you have seen a remote control? Samsung remote cannot change the channel of LG. No compatibility. So when Satan brings products, he doesn't find compatibility. Because these men are all together sold out to the Spirit of God. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you begin to walk after the Spirit, you begin to find what spirit life is about. How spirit life is. Oh, it's a wonder. It's a wonder. I know I am a stammerer. But when the Holy Ghost comes, when he comes, I preached a sermon. A young man had to hear it. How many times did he hear it? It's not a man's voice he's hearing. There's something mingled with that utterance that is not a voice. For it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are containers to convey spirit. Then a vessel begins to rise. They test you with money. Your integrity, your love for Jesus is stronger than money. He leaves you there for 5 years so that you will go through the season. And you didn't take what was not yours. So now I'll give you a scepter of wealth. And it's not about your certificate, whether you graduated as an engineer. That's when you will know that the real things that make men mighty, they are allocations. They are keys from the kingdom which is in heaven that God gives to men. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It doesn't matter whether you were privileged to go to the university. Can you be free? Yeah, see the vision I saw. The pastor was supposed to, this oil well was supposed to sponsor his ministry. But he was not obedient to God enough. It means the way of the flesh distracted him. The best things of God will never go to a man of flesh. Oh. The things you are crying for trousers. God knows you can do without trousers. So that he can take you to a place where he can give you something that is more than trousers. But only men that walk after the Spirit can find the treasure that is hidden in the Holy Ghost. Such things that the Bible says that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that has not entered into the heart of man. Those booster stations, take them for surgery. Pray about them until they are cut off. I've been in situations before where people wanted to make me God. Yes, I've been there before. A woman that was brought from the village, they said for 27 years, if she eats in the evening, she'll vomit. They brought the woman from the village. And I was doing Bible study like this. And I was moving around. And I went to where the woman was. And I touched her. You know the way I touch people? She was healed. But she didn't even know. And she went and they gave her food. For the first time, 27 years, she
informate in the evening. She stayed here for 2 weeks. Her husband did not hear from her, so he thought she had died. So he was coming to take her corpse. It was the wife that ran to hug him outside. When the husband was amazed, he didn't know what happened. We had to detain the man. We detained him. He gave his life to Christ. God filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to pray in tongues. When they were going back home, two tongue-talking Christians were going back. The woman went to the village, and when she started speaking in tongues, demons began to manifest. That's how a church gathered in her house, and he sent to us and told us that she's not a trained pastor. She doesn't even know what to tell them. Send a pastor. That woman was the one that told us. Send. So when I went to the village, the woman was the first. I was coming out of a Hilux vehicle. She laid down that I should step on her before I. So Anand told her that me too, I will lie down in that grass. There'd be many opportunities that people gave me so that they will worship me. But I know where God took me from in pride. I will never accept that altar. That's when you understand what grace is. Grace happens to be God's capsule for sufficiency. Because God deliberately created man to be insufficient. He created you in need of grace. And in order for you to understand grace, he brought the compendium of grace to walk this world. And there was no situation that Jesus ever encountered that he did not have a solution for. And the currency under which he lived those 33 years, the 3.5 years, was the currency of the grace of God. Oh, they came one time and said, we hear you have not paid temple tax, you and your disciples. Meanwhile, according to the custom, Jews do not pay temple tax. Only proselytes, people that are converts to Judaism from other times, that pay temple tax. So, by right, Jesus was not supposed to pay. But Jesus said, lest we offend them. Jesus was willing to give away his rights so that he would not offend. And he spoke to Peter. He said, Peter, you used to be a fisherman before. Take a hook, go back to the seaside. You will bring out a fish. Open the mouth. You will find a gold coin. Pay for me and for yourself also. There was no situation that caught Jesus unawares. And the currency under which he prosecuted his human life was called grace. That is the advertisement to show us the dimensions of sufficiency that are captured within that spiritual possibility called grace. That's why I opened the book of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainted not, neither is he weary. It's just showing you all the dimensions of sufficiency that reside in God. There is no searching of his understanding. His depth is beyond what your mind can fathom. His strategies is beyond the wisdom you got in physics class. He said, don't you know this? Has it not occurred to you that the one that set up this entire framework without a single pillar, this civilization, suspended the clouds? Have you not known that there is no searching of his understanding? He gave it power to the faint. You are that faint one because you are a bag of insufficiency. The Bible says that is the spirit that was designed to help our weakness. His specialty, given that he has no limitation, what he does is that he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, increases strength. That's the principle that activates the law of the spirit of life. For you to acknowledge that you have no might. You want to stop lying? You have no might against it. You want to stop immorality? You have no might against it. And only those that acknowledge that they have no might will he increase what? Given power to the faint. And to them that have no might, increase strength. For even the youth shall faint. The youth whose glory is in his strength, he will claim he's strong. In this race, the youth, the best of them will faint. A young man shall grow weary, shall utterly fall. There'll be no remedy for his folly. But there that wait upon the Lord, they know that the strength is not in us, the strength is in God. So we are ready to stay with God until he breaks the power of the flesh and gives us grace. It is with this grace that we can mount up with wings. Listen. Because we are human beings, you don't fly. So it is supernatural for you to fly. So grace makes you do the supernatural. Mount up with wings like the eagles. It is the eagle that flies naturally, not you. But if you have grace, you can do the supernaturally naturally. He said you can walk and not be weary. To walk is natural. But to walk and not be weary is supernatural. So you do the natural. How? Supernatural. That's the proof that you have found grace. You will do the supernatural naturally. And you will do the natural supernaturally. This is the description of the New Testament Christian. Grace. Grace. That's when you will know that it's not by power. It is not by might. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. This is the life he has called us to live. The life that is powered by his grace. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of my classmates was doing his PhD in Abu Zaria, and I was invited for a crusade there. So he attended the crusade. I came to the pulpit with fire, and miracles began to take place. We were classmates, so we were in the class for 4 years, so he knows me. Miracles began to. He tried to break the protocol. The protocol arrested him and kept him one side. I said, I know this man, this is my classmate. Come. So he came. We sat down together. You know his first wonder? How did you maintain this thing? You know those days while we were doing those, they say I was distracted. That this guy is intelligent but he's distracted. How many years later? About 20, I don't know, 20 something years later. I say, how did you? Obviously you were walking and you were not weary. How did you come? How did you get here? He doesn't know grace by which a man can walk and not be weary. So God programmed that your life will glide through grace. It means results that human beings in their best form cannot produce. You will do it naturally with grace. I will teach you grace next week. I've rested enough, so I'm back. You need to. That's how he planned it. You know what? Living by the grace of God. I told you before, a meeting was organized somewhere, and all the ministers except me were bishops, big men. Because I was the non-bishop, the only non-bishop in the conclave, they said I should preach first. And my grace is in the area of revelation. There is a pungent dimension of enablement I have in the area of revelation. So I entered into my seat. If I'm in that seat, I can't be wrong. It means that its supernatural power will give me backup. If I'm on that seat, I'm like a catapult. Something will drive me once I'm there. The moment I enter this place, it dropped Isaiah chapter 40. That's all I need. We can be in this Isaiah 40 for 7 days, for 8 days. This. Because it is my field. That's where I won't struggle with you in your own area. But God is pleased to release his grace for me to do this kind of thing I'm doing now. He's pleased. So I sat there and I allowed grace to float me up. I preached for 2 nights and the meeting ended. The third night, the people didn't come. The bishops were there with cap, but there was you know what they did the next day? They invited the bishops again. And then they put me last. Let the bishops preach. Once the people know this young man has not preached, they'll be coming. When the real game of life starts, it's not by title. It's by grace. Oh, you say yes. I didn't do well in my academics. You're welcome. Those are the kind of people Jesus wants. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no mind, increases strength. For even the youth, the ones that think they are strong, they will be encountered with situations that will be death for them. And they will be brought to a shock realization of the fact that that which they called their confidence was insufficient to prosecute destiny. There that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. When the angel of the Lord came that night and took me, he spoke to me. He said, go back to your study table. I want to bring a message to you. You know, my own revelations come when I'm with my Bible. Your Christian life will be a wonder if you understand the kind of grace operating in your life. But before you enter into grace, make sure you deal with the booster stations of flesh so that Satan can find no compatibility for his products in your vessel. Then from that point, learn the Holy Ghost. He will make out of you something that you never imagined for yourself. Can we pray as a congregation? He shines on me. Your grace, he shines on me. Shines on me. shines on me is your grace. It shines on me, shines on me, your grace, it shines on me, it shines on me, shines on me, is your grace. A time comes when you know what Jesus has given you. When you have this knowledge, you cannot be intimidated by any man. Yes. If they need what Jesus gave you, they will have to come to you. Jesus never made any man a failure. But all men in his kingdom will be powered by grace. You must know that the energy by which God builds his grace. His grace. Your grace, it shines on me. So maybe next week, I think I've rested a little. Next week, I will teach you on grace. Then you will see how a little one becomes a thousand. You will see how a small one becomes a strong nation. For he suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Yes, O Selina Capellos. Rando Selemo Gora Sakabone. Yes, O Selite Kendalobo. Masakande Raskito Menalabo Sane. Iko Selima Malia. Roske si senendo cobre, paratos kilo monteli, ma precobe la tal. Mokoria sila, iacoria mamma santoria, icosese la macande, rame coria basico menatala bande, igamaya tobela. For them that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Shine sun. Is it open? Shine on me. Shines on me, it shines on me. Yes, your grace. It shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines.